that's going crazy over you. Blue sky, sunshine, every day is filled with good times, and no more fears of leaving. And I know.
Hey, 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 this is DJ Beefcake, and you're listening to Where's the Beef at radio.dominican.edu on Tuesdays from 3 to 4. Just right before my show, DJ Gaines just killed it on her show, and I have her with me today. Hello, DJ Gaines.
Hey, DJ Beefcake, how are you?
Great, how are you? Thank you for being here again. She just put on a super good show, so make sure you guys check her out. She's on Tuesdays, same time, 2 to 3, Fresh Take with DJ Gaines. Great show. Make sure you guys check it out. All right. So today on Where's the Beef, where I will be talking about the most beefiest, juiciest events that are happening and just giving you guys my take or opinion on it and get some commentary on that. But first of all, today is October 11th, and a couple of important things are happening on today. First, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Parent Trap, one of my favorite movies, but Annie and Hallie are the two movie characters, and they're twins, long-lost twins, and they find each other, and their birthday is on October 11th, which is today. Second, I want to give two birthday shout-outs to my friends Molly, who goes to TCU, and my friend Alex, who goes to U of A. Today is also their birthdays, so October 11th is such an awesome day, filled with many important birthdays. And the last, it is National Coming Out Day, which is a super, super cool thing that we have a day for it now. I didn't know that was a thing until I saw it on Snapchat Geofilter, which was super cool. And that's such a big thing here in the Bay and such a big thing to me personally. And I think that's so awesome. We should all celebrate. Go Pride. Woohoo. Okay, so last week we talked a lot about just our volleyball season and just a little bit about, we talked about our quote from like our assistant coach who gave us about teamwork, and we just went deeper about our season and how it's been going and why we're having so much fun and why it's just so much better than last season's. We're currently ranked third. We're tied for third in the conference, which is some, I think, the best we've ever done in the season. So we're super stoked about that. And just another, we have another game coming up on Thursday against NDNU. That's going to be a big game. It's our only home game for the month of October, so make sure all of you guys come. And if you can't come, then tune in to radio.dominican.edu. They put on a great show, so if you can't come, you can at least hear a great show broadcasted. And since we have another game coming up, our assistant coach always sends us some inspirational quote before the game with the scouting report. So this week we got the quote, luck is, you're given luck when you, an opportunity is met with preparation. And that was such a cool quote, I thought. And basically that idea has been instilled in us for a long time. And the other idea that's been instilled with us, like, from our coach, is when you give up on yourself, you become a part of something greater. And what that means to me personally is just a selfless game and just selfless actions and selfless reactions, which equals success from all of our teammates. So make sure to come to our game and just see what's happening there. So the second thing we talked about last week was the presidential elections and the debate surrounding the elections. And that was a super... The debates are, have always been just a big topic because we've never had a debate like this. We've never had a campaigns like this that are just smear campaigns and then scandal after scandal. It's nothing like we've ever had before, and it's super interesting. And so we talked a little bit about that last week, and now since there is a second debate, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Just to give a little bit of our opinions as like young college students, just to tell like what we thought of it and I don't know what stood out to us. So the first thing I'm going to talk about in the second presidential debate is just the reaction from everybody when I came. So when I came into my communications class, we obviously talked about it because it's such a big thing happening, and our professor was just like, he was just upset with how it was just smearing each other. Like, the questions were barely being answered, and they were just smearing each other back and forth, and not a lot of the questions got answered. in the most correct way. It started off right, but then they would take a turn and then end up back, oh, well, this guy sucks, or, well, she's not doing great. So it was kind of funny to watch, which isn't the best thing, but it was definitely entertaining, I'll say. All right, so when the two candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, came out, they did not handshake. They did not give the traditional, like, good luck, like, as a respect, sign of respect, which was super weird, because that's, I don't know, it just kind of shows how this campaign is different from anything that we've seen. So throughout the whole 90-minute exchange, they threw insults, they defended themselves, they ventured into actual policy positions sometimes. But the biggest thing, so I'm just going to go over the 5 or 6 takeaways from the whole debate. So the biggest thing was Trump's latest scandal that came out. So Trump, about in 2005, was in a bus, I think, if you will, and he was caught on microphone talking to Billy Bush about a woman named Arianne Zucker, and his comments were caught on tape, and here is what he said. He said, he was referring to her and referring to women in general. "I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. Grab them by the pussy. You can do anything." Now, that was just, as a female, first of all, that's hard to hear. And as a human, that's hard to hear, because that's just so degrading to humanity and women in general. I don't know. What do you think about it, DJ Gaines?
I think that's just ridiculous. Yeah. The fact that he just made women seem like they're just items that you can just go up to and grab, and that he is held to this higher standard over women, and that we're just items. That I don't know. I think that's not allowed. That's not okay. And someone of that high standard of a person and should not be saying that stuff about humans and women in general. Is just degrading them.
Yeah. So it's super hard to hear for me as a woman, but second, like, humanity, like, and I think that it shows his character. I mean, he showed us his character a bunch of times, and my mom always said, when someone shows you their character, believe them. Don't make excuses for them, or don't say otherwise. He's shown us his character multiple times, and the fact that we have this on tape from him saying such crude things is very telling to what he'll do as a candidate, I believe. Because I think there is a correlation between who a person is and what they will, like, who they are internally and their beliefs and what they will do as president of the United States. Do you think there's a correlation?
Yeah, and especially since there's so many incidents of him doing this, it's not something that you can take away. That's part of who he is. Over all, like, 60 years, he's been held to these many scandals of sexualizing women and just all these sexist comments he's been making, and that's something that's coming within him that he's been doing this whole time. It's a habit that's can't be really be broken, and he's gonna shadow over it for his presidency. He's gonna try and be this person and put a disguise on, but we know deep down this is the person he really is.
Yeah, and it's not like he was some young kid saying this. Mm-hmm. He was 59 years old when he said this. Mm-hmm. So you can't release a statement, "I was young and I didn't know what I was doing. I was a 59-year-old man and I had no idea what was happening and I was just dumb." Like, that's not a good excuse. That's not a valid excuse whatsoever. He's 59 years old, like, when he said this. So he was formed as a human at this point in life to make those comments. I don't see how much could change in the time.
Yeah, and I think he still obviously is thinking these facts. The way he talks about his daughter and this, the way he just talks about females in general, and the only reason why his publicists are probably telling him, "Hey, you need to tone it down a little bit." He has so many people working for him right now, telling him what to say, what not to say.
Yeah.
That it's like helping his campaign, because he's not speaking his true self, and he's trying to put this shade over himself because he knows he's starting to get more backlash from it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So this was addressed, this was one of the biggest things that was addressed in the whole second presidential debate. And when they asked him about this, he dismissed the video. He said, "Oh, I didn't say that at all. I've never done those things." And then he went on to dismiss it as locker room talk. And then he finally said, "I'm very embarrassed and I hate it. Nobody has more respect for women than I do." So he went from saying, "I didn't say that," that's not what I did. Okay, it's locker room talk. Okay, I'm embarrassed. Like, in a matter of, like, what, 10 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
So we just shifted completely. I don't know. I have a hard time with the phrase, it's locker room talk.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think just saying it's locker room talk, he treats basically the whole world like it's his locker room. And not the whole world is a men's locker room. And you can't just say those things. And first, you weren't even in a locker room. You were in a TV interview on a bus that was being recorded. Like, you are not in a locker room. So why would you say those things in that medium?
Yeah, there's also some backlash coming from athletes, male athletes that are saying, that are not okay with him saying that this is locker room talk, because even those male athletes wouldn't say such a thing in the locker room. And he's degrading. He's saying, like, oh, it's human nature for males to be speaking this way about girls in locker room talk or whatnot. And that's putting a bad spin on male athletes and, like, the locker room talk. They're starting to backlash at it.
Yeah. These comments were talking with Billy Bush, who is a host on the Today Show. And they were talking about Arian Zucker. And Billy Bush has currently been suspended from NBC News as of now. So, and then he released a statement saying, I'm sorry, I'm young. He doesn't excuse it. I'm just very sorry to everyone who I offended. And then Arian Zucker released a comment on the 42-year-old actress now is one of the women that was mentioned by Trump on the tape. So she took to Twitter on Sunday to share her whole thoughts on the scandal. And she released a quote, I'm a strong, independent, hardworking mother, businesswoman, and partner to a great man. I have grown to learn that the words of others cannot affect the value of my own self-worth or define the content of my character. How we treat one another behind closed doors, locker rooms, or face-to-face should be done with kindness, dignity, and respect. And I think that's such a great way for her to respond because, and I also think she makes an excellent point when she says, what you do behind closed doors should be done with kindness and dignity and respect. And I also think what you do behind closed doors is more of a character to who you really are. It's more of, you open yourself more up when you're comfortable and alone. So the fact that we have this tape of Donald being very degrading towards women behind closed doors is more just showing what his true character is, I think. So after these things were talked about in the debate, Trump responded to this in a kind of, it was in a weird way. I don't know if you know this, but he attacked Bill Clinton. That's how he responded to this. He said, if you look at Bill Clinton, mine were words, his were actions. There has never been anyone in the history of politics who has been so abusive to women. And he actually went as far as to invite three women who have accused Bill Clinton of sexual assault into the town hall in the family section. So they were very close to the presidential debate and up close and personal. And I think he was trying to rattle Hillary with them, and he pointed them out. But the thing is, do you think that his argument is valid? Because Bill's not the one running, it's Hillary. It's Hillary, and she hasn't done anything with sexual assault towards women.
At this point, I think Donald's just trying to do whatever he can to attack whatever he can from Hillary. He could pull out something. Hillary's third cousin's son's dog.
Yeah.
just bit a kid on the street or something. Donald's running out of stuff to talk about. And so he's trying to branch out and attack Bill Clinton. And I think because Hillary, he has nothing to say about her anymore at this point. But Hillary can go on and on and on about Donald. So Donald's just trying to reach for different things to attack her, because that's what he likes to do. He likes to go out and attack her instead of answering all these questions about his policies and whatnot. He doesn't seem to know these answers, and he doesn't know how to be a great politician, and all he knows in life is how to attack.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And then Clinton also, she does attack, but her points have at least a little bit more validity. Mm-hmm. She pointed to Trump's mocking of a disabled reporter, his attacks against a Gold Star family, his smear of a former Miss Universe, his comments about women and questioning the motives of the federal judge, and his labeling of Muslims in general. And she said, this is not who we are as Americans. And I think that was super powerful, because I think we need to identify with our next president. And I don't believe that anyone could actually identify with his beliefs any sane person could actually identify mm-hmm. with him. And I think that's a great point that she made, and that really it spoke out to me. It stuck out, and I think she did a great job responding to that. And he, again, responded to that with, "It's just words, folks. It's just words." And he said that he will later went on to talk about how he may have said something, but he didn't do anything. He's talking about his bad words versus her bad actions. And I don't know, what do you think about that, DJ Gaines? Because what he says and his words and how he uses them and mm-hmm. what he talks about, do you think that has some like value. Accuracy? Yeah, value yeah. to like what he'll do as president.
So there's that saying, actions speak louder than words. But right now, Hillary's actions are there's just not as many of them compared to Donald's outrageous amount of words. And there comes to a point, I do think actions speak louder than words, but there's a point where Donald Trump, the stuff he says is just so out there and degrading. And when you keep doing that and you keep there's just all these cases of what he's been saying, and it comes to this point where that's just how he is as a person, and that's going to affect him in this election, because there's only so much you can do to try and cover up all those bad things that you've said. And he's said so much horrible stuff to every group, I think, in every classification of a human. So everyone yeah. has a right to not like him for something that
and
he said.
And be offended. Everyone has a right to be offended. Mm-hmm. You could probably, everyone has been offended him.
You could probably just like Google Donald Trump comments on Asians or something, and he could just bash them. And he's like, oh, 20 years ago, Donald Trump said this about Asians. And then you could just Google Donald Trump's comments on women. And then there's just the yeah. long list. And so this is not good when he's trying to appeal to these people and get people to vote for him. And I think he's now trying to realize it, because back then I don't think he thought he was going to run for president ever. I mean, do you think he was going to run for president
no,
ever?
No, I still think it's a joke in my mm-hmm. mind. Like, I never actually thought he would get this far too. It was so shocking to me. Mm-hmm. And when I went overseas this summer, I went to Ireland, and you meet a bunch of foreigners and they ask you about America, like, oh my gosh, what's America like? It's so cool. Like, it looks so cool. But all of them, I swear, all of them ask me, are you voting for Trump? Like, what do you think about Trump? Isn't that insane? Like, why is he your president? Why is he a nominee? And I was like, that's such a good question. I have no idea why he's a nominee. And that even foreigners are just so appalled at the fact that he made it this far in the election. And I think that was such a funny thing that I saw this summer. All right, number three. On the most memorable points or the things that you can take away from this debate. Trump takes the email scandal to another level. So that's his go-to attack. If anything is like happening, if she attacks his policy, well, then he'll attack her emails. That's his go-to. He was just saying there's never been anything like it, referring to the deletion of the 33,000 emails. Clinton took responsibility for her mistake. She said, I am sorry, it was a mistake. She at least owned up to it.
Mm-hmm. And that's respectable.
Respectable, yeah. And it was hard because you don't really see a lot of that in this debate. Just, no. Hey, I messed up. Hey, I did this. So that was at least good
that's
of her
refreshing.
To do that. Yeah. And then like later on in that segment, she said something along the lines of, why should we give someone like him to be in charge of in charge of law enforcement? And he responded quickly. He goes, because you would be in jail, that's why. And then the audience like started roaring, like this was like a talk show and
like a roast off.
Exactly. Like they were it was more of an SNL skit than it was an actual debate, because they were just going at each other's throats and the audience was treating it like it was a game show, like cheering when it was good, booing and when it was bad, like saying, ooh, like that was such a like harsh comment. So it wasn't taken seriously, but it was just such a, and he interrupted her again when he said that. And I can't even tell you how many times he interrupted her this time. But the next thing I'm going to talk about is number four. Trump finally admits to not paying federal taxes. This is one of his biggest scandals. He had $960 million tax pay, like money that we have no idea where it went. So he said, of course I didn't pay this. A lot of my write-off was, what do you say? A lot of my write-off was depreciation, I think. Yeah, depreciation. Referring to the New York Times story that indicated that he could not have paid up to 18 year taxes for 18 years. He found a loophole and he said, I absolutely used it. So smart businessman, kind of shady. it is what it is. Okay, number five, he breaks down his own running mate on Syria. So his running mate, Mike Pence, broke with Trump on his Syria policy in another talk show. And then he was asked about it in the debate. And Trump said, he and I haven't spoken, and I disagree with the policy. So that's a little concerning to me that you don't have your running mate. It seems like you guys are on the same page. It seems like he's not on the same page with a bunch of his people in his campaign. So I thought that was kind of weird and just a little bit more a nail in his coffin. And then the final thing is he just continued to defend Russia. They both asked about the plans and what they would do. They both responded. Both candidates responded with good answers. And then one of the other things is one of the questions from the town hall, the second debate, was from a man. He said, name one thing you like and respect about one another. And when he asked this question, everyone started laughing because everyone knows, like, they've been doing blows at each other from the beginning. And so it was just refreshing to get a question. Everyone started laughing. Hillary started laughing. And she went first, and she said, the one thing that I respect about Donald is I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but I think he did a hell of a job raising his children. She said, I think he raised some bright individuals who are driven and just hardworking, good, like, children. And Donald said, I take that as a compliment. I'm super proud of my children. And the thing he said about her is that she doesn't quit. She doesn't give up. She's a fighter, and they both said nice things, but then they went back to, but I disagree with him on everything else they say. And then, yeah, and then Hillary kind of spun it back to, like, well, that's why I should be president. So I don't even know how she did that, but good for her. If you can spin it, I say do it. So if you noticed, most of these points were about how Trump shot himself in the foot. Whatever chance he had of capturing the White House largely just evaporated that Sunday night in a second debate. It's coming off of the worst 10 days of any campaign in recent history. So it was just a pretty bad campaign overall. And who won? People say Hillary won fair, but it still wasn't as exciting debate to watch. The next thing that came out of the one good thing to come out of this debate was a man named Kenneth Bone.
Oh, Kenneth Bone.
I don't know if you guys have heard of Kenneth Bone, but he was one of the people who asked a question at the debate, and now I'm going to play you his question just so you can hear him, listen to him, get an idea of what he sounds like.
One more question from Ken Bone about energy policy. Ken?
What steps will your energy policy take to meet our energy needs while at the same time remaining environmentally friendly and minimizing job loss for fossil power plant workers?
So that was Ken Bone's question, and he sounded like a super nice guy when I heard this. And then I saw a picture of him, and for those of you who haven't seen a picture of him, he's this kind of overweight, chubby guy with kind of balding, who has like the cutest little mustache, glasses, and he was wearing this bright red sweater.
The infamous sweater. It's sold out on Amazon.
Are you serious?
Sold out in 24 hours on Amazon.
Oh my
gosh.
People
were just blown because they want to be him for Halloween.
People love him. America loves him. He was probably the best thing to come out of this debate because America just like saw him. And I'm just going to read you some of the tweets from about him because there were so many. He was trending on Twitter. Yeah, he was trending
on
Twitter. He said, here's the first tweet. Tonight a star was born. World meet Kenneth Bone. Ken Bone meet the world. Another tweet, Kenneth Bone is here to remind you, it's sweater weather. Another tweet, Kenneth Bone is real, he is strong, and he is my friend. Kenneth, the Bone Man. Bone sweater is brighter than my future. Dibs on Kenneth Bone for Halloween costume. That energy question was mad adorable. Kenneth Bone, sorry I can't think of anyone else tonight. The debate is whatever now. Kenneth Bone. He was awesome. And another tweet, Bill Clinton made plans with Kenneth Bone. I want to party with you. And another tweet, last one, Ken Bone taking pictures with his disposable camera so it lasts forever. Legend. I don't know if you saw that, but he was taking pictures with his disposable camera. Like, what else did you see?
So he was on Jimmy Kimmel, and Jimmy Kimmel was joking. He's like, So you had where'd you get this disposable camera? Did they even make those anymore? And Ken Bone was saying that you're not allowed to use your phones or anything at the time of the debate, but they do give you these disposable cameras to take pictures of the event afterwards, after the debate, so you can show your friends and family. So that's why he was walking around just taking flash photography of the event where he was. And it was really funny. And Ken Bone, just this random guy, just undecided about who he was going to vote for, just wanted to ask this one question because himself, he works in the fossil fuel industry. He's like a coal worker. And so this is where he wanted to ask this question about energy. And now he's sort of leaning towards Donald Trump because he agrees with his economical policy towards that.
He's kind of like the new Harambe, if you will. And Harambe was this gorilla that was shot and everyone was just outraged by it. But they took it out of the media, and then they're just like making so many memes on Twitter. They're talking about it on just so many different media outlets. And now they're taking this presidential debate, and the one thing, like, we found, like, oh my gosh, Kenneth Bone. And everyone is just going off of that and making memes. He was actually on CNN describing, he said that his red sweater, his famous red sweater, was Plan B. I actually had an olive suit, but I split the rear of my pants getting in my car. He said he split his olive suit because I eat like an athlete, but I don't work out like one, which is like, that's so cute. He just increased my love for him. And he also told me, you were telling me before the show, that he was on Jimmy Kimmel. What did he do on that? What was his comments?
Oh, that's when I was just talking about when Jimmy asked him about the whole disposable camera thing. It was a really short segment on him, just a quick interview, a couple minutes, just asking about how he feels about this new trend. And he's like, what's your Twitter name? Can I follow you? There's a ton of Ken Bones out there now because you're famous. And he's like, oh, so you're not allowed to have your phone or anything. And at the time, Ken Bone said when he turned his phone back on after the debate, he said there were thousands of notifications on his phone, and he's freaking out. He's like, what am I doing? What is happening? I don't know what's going on right now. And he was really confused as to what was going on. And he was being really cheeky on the show and was like, oh yeah, I know I deserve all this attention. I know I'm adorable and stuff like that. And it was just funny. He was just a really cheeky man.
So he won America's hearts with that debate. Another thing that came out of the debate, a little bit more serious note, was, as I said before, the whole Trump scandal about how he referred to women and touching them and doing whatever he wants to them just because he was a celebrity caused several women to share their own stories about sexual abuse, sexual assault in their own life, and which is kind of an inspiring thing if you think about it. It's not like that this was inspired by something like, hey, I came out and I did this. It was inspired by a negative action, which caused a positive reaction, which I thought was super cool. So Amber Tablin, who is married to a comedian, David Cross, since 2012, revealed that she was once sexually assaulted by an ex-boyfriend, and she shared her personal story on Instagram. And in like wake of the 2005 Donald Trump comments about Nancy O'Deal being brought to light, an actor and poet, Amber Tamblyn has shared her own story about sexual assault. So I'm going to read to you what her caption was on her Instagram. I need to tell you a story with the love and support of my husband I've decided to share publicly. A very long time ago, I ended a long emotionally and physically abusive relationship with a man I had been with for some time. One night, I was at a show with a couple of girlfriends in Hollywood listening to a DJ we all loved. I knew there was a chance my ex could show up, but I felt protected with my girls around me. Without going into all the details, I will tell you that my ex did show up. He came up to me. He's a big guy, taller than me. The minute he saw me, he picked me up one hand by my hair, and the other hand he grabbed under my skirt by my vagina and lifted me up on the floor, literally carried me like something he owned, like a piece of trash, out of the club. His fingers were practically inside me, his hand wrapped tightly around my hair. I screamed and kicked and cried. He carried me this way, suspended by his hands, all the way across the room, pushing past people until he got to the front door. My friends ran after him, trying to stop him. We got to the front of the door, and I thank God his brothers were also there and intervened. In the same scuffle, he grabbed at my clothes, trying to hold on to me, screaming at me, and inadvertently ripped off my grandmother's necklace, which I was wearing. The rest of the night is a blur. I do not remember how I got out to the car, how I got away from him that night. I never returned for my necklace either. That part of my body, which is the current presidential nominee of the United States, Donald Trump, recently described as something he'd like to grab a woman by, was bruised from my ex-boyfriend's violence for at least next week. I had a hard time wearing jeans. I couldn't sleep with a pillow. I couldn't sleep without a pillow between my legs to create the space. To this day, I remember that moment. I remember the shame. I'm afraid my mom will read this post. I'm even more afraid that my father could ever know this story, that it would break his heart. I couldn't take that. But you understand, don't you? I needed to tell the story. Enjoy the debates tonight. I thought that was a super, super powerful story and so eloquently put. And just props to her for coming out after all these years and telling that story, because sexual assault is such a big thing. And I know as college kids on campus, we hear about it all the time, and it's like such a common problem at parties and whatnot. But the fact that this like good thing came out of a negative comment is the kind of the glass half full, if you would look at it like that. So with that, we're going to go on our first break. You're listening to Where's the Beef with DJ Beefcake and DJ Gaines at radio.dominican.edu. We're going to take our first break. See you in a few minutes.
Got the love of myself.
Hey guys, we're back. This is DJ Beefkick, and you're listening to Where's the Beef? Tuesdays from 3 to 4 at radio.dominican.edu. We just got back from talking a little bit about the debate and the things surrounding the debate and some of the great things that came out of the debate, like Kenneth Bone, my personal hero as of today. So now, another thing that has come out of the debate is that just the overall awareness of gender issues, specifically the wage gap, the pay gap between male and female. And today, I also have with me joining, I still have DJ Gaines with me. How you doing, DJ Gaines?
Great. How are you?
Great. And I also have another fellow teammate, Amy Steinwan, join me on today's radio show. Hello, Amy.
Hi.
Hi. Awesome. So we talked a little bit about Amy on a DJ Gaines show. Talked about, first of all, a little side note, congratulations to Amy Steinwan, Player of the Week.
Thanks.
For volleyball team. Super stoked for you. Super stoked to be playing with you. So now we're going to have her talk a little bit. We're going to have her give a little bit of a different view and opinions about the wage gap. So from my research, I found that the good news is about the wage gap shrinking and whatnot. So in 1970, women earned 70 cents on the dollar. Now that women are more educated and more experienced in society, in a general, more aware of the gap. In general, us as a society are more aware of the whole gap ever been than before. And I think that, in my opinion, it's due to partially this debate and how just the gender role has played such a big part. So we've made all these advancements since 1970s, but we've increased 9 cents, but still it's a big deal, like only 9 cents over 3 decades. That were differencing from 79 cents for a white woman to every $1, white man's dollar. So why is this budging the needle on equal pay? Like, why is it taking so long? And I'm just going to hand it over to Amy Steinwan, who found some different research, and just give her opinion on that.
Cool. So I don't know if many of you know me, but I'm kind of a nerd, like my dad. And my dad and I actually do a lot of research on political issues just because we're interested in it. And so we actually found the study that was published about a woman's 70 cents to a dollar or 79 cents to a dollar. And it was really interesting because the jobs that they compared between males and females, they compared the top female jobs, which, mm-hmm. you know, might be teachers or even if they are stay-at-home moms or, you know, just things that women are more interested in because they're not as interested in, like, science and math fields and STEM fields. And the top jobs for men, which are more, you know, STEM fields, doctors, engineers, whatever. That's just because they're more interested in it. So they compared two completely different jobs from females and males, and they averaged those salaries and compared them to each other. So obviously the females would be a little bit lower than the males. So my problem with the whole thing that everybody's talking about, this wage gap, both my parents work in the same field. They have the same degrees, so they get paid the same amount. Like, in our family, there is no wage gap because both of them do the same job and they both get paid the same amount. And we have a big issue with, like, all these statistics being published just because we kind of debunked it. We're just like, well, if you're comparing apples and oranges, like, of course you're going to get different numbers. If you compare, you know, the women in the same job as the men, then there's no wage gap.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point to make. And also, there is a bunch of other random outside excuses that go into the idea of why there is quote-unquote a wage gap. The first one being that men work harder than women in general. This is often a reason given for why there is a wage gap. Men simply work harder than women. They put in more hours. They don't take as much time off. They don't have to leave temporarily to have children. But that's ignores the fact that women work every bit as hard as men, just not exactly in the same way. This notion, for me, that men work harder than women because they put in more time while women are leaving to have children really angers me because, personally, I've always wanted to have a family, like, ever since I was growing up, and it's making, like, sounding kids is hindering you from success, and
You shouldn't be punished
You
for
shouldn't be
like
punished
that.
For, like, wanting to have kids, and that was really hard for me. I don't know. What do you think, DJ Gaines?
Yeah, I agree. I know that there's going to be a point in my life where I'm going to want to have kids and have family. And I know also that the ages in America, people are starting to have kids later in their life, too. It used to be people would have kids around early 20s, and now people are waiting to their late 20s, early 30s to start having children. And I just don't want that to, it's because I think people are just scared. They want to get settled, have a successful job. And it's hard to get a successful job this young now. So people are waiting to get it in their career. And it takes like to be their late 20s, early 30s to get that income settled in before they're going to have children. And I think there's that worry that if you're not settled into your career yet, you're not going to want to have a family. And I think that's like such a burden we shouldn't have to worry about. Everyone's like, there's a lot of people out there who want to have families. And yes, women are the ones that are going to have to produce the children.
Yeah.
And I don't think.
No question.
And yes, women, popular to contrary belief, we do have the babies. But that fact that burden that women have to carry going, thinking about their career and being worried that they have to take time off is, I think, it's not unfair.
It is. I have a perfect example of that. My aunt just had a beautiful baby. She was born last January. And she is a successful, hardworking woman working in the Bay Area. And this is two things you can look at it. So she had to take time off. She is in her late 30s, so she had a baby later on in life, her first baby. And she took time off from her work, and they hired this professional called a sleep doula. And this is the first time I've ever heard of this. And basically that's somebody who comes in and takes care of the baby at night. So like you can get a good night's sleep and just be a little bit more on your feet after you've just given birth. So two things. One, like, she's worked so hard in her life that she had to have a baby later on at this point that she had to hire someone to help them, like, just take care of this newborn baby, which is hard because she's having to do it later in life because she wanted to have an established job. And two, you can look at it another way as of she was able to hire this person because she had a more six, like, she had the baby later on in her life, and she was able to produce that because she had the funds to hire extra help so she'd get back on her feet. So you could look at it in a positive and negative way. But I know, Amy, you have such a hard, you're a chemistry major,
yes.
Correct? Yes. And what do you, tell me a little bit about what you want to be and just the difficulties you're going to have to be facing later on in life.
So I want to be in sports med and I want to be an orthopedic surgeon. That stems from very long time. I knew what I wanted to do in like fourth grade. I know I've always wanted to be a doctor. And my goals have always been career based. It's always been, I know I want to go to medical school. I know I want to be a surgeon. And you know, I've always thought about that. I've never thought about, oh, like, I want to have, like, none of my goals in life have been, you know, I want to get married, I want to have kids. It's all kind of been, I want to say, like, it's kind of selfish because it's, like, what I want to do with my life. Mm-hmm. But it's also, like, I recognize that other people, their goals are to have families. And it's, like, that's cool. Like, do your own thing. And for me, what's been really frustrating is I've encountered male surgeons who I've shadowed and spent my time with them. And they tell me, oh, you should go talk to a PA, a physician's assistant, because you're a girl and you're going to want to have kids.
Wow.
So, like,
how did you take that? What did that do to you? What did that make you feel?
I was so infuriated, but we were in an OR, so, like, I couldn't do anything.
Yeah,
like,
and you're shadowing them. Like, they're your superior, if you will. And you can't just be like, hey, you can't say that.
Yeah, I was going to be like, I'm here to shadow you. Like, I came here for a reason. And it was just so, I mean, it almost, like, destroyed my confidence of, like, wanting to be a surgeon just because they were like, oh, well, you're a girl. You're going to want to have kids, so go do something else. And I was just like, oh, my God, this has been my life dream, like, forever. Like, I do so much now. Like, I'm in the honor societies. We're starting a pre-med honor society. Like, I'm a chem major, you know, playing volleyball, like, doing all of these things just to go to med school because I want to be a surgeon.
Wow.
And so after that whole thing happened, I was just going to be like, yeah, well, I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
Like,
for those of you who don't know Amy, she is one of the biggest nerds, one of the best volleyball players ever, and one of the most determined people I've ever met. You tell her you can't do something, she's going to work 10 times harder just to say, hey, F you, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it 10 times better than you just to prove you wrong. And that's what I love about her. And that's, like, how long is it going to take you to get your, how many years are you going to have to go to school to become a surgeon?
So I'm doing 4 years of undergrad, and then 4 years of medical school, mm-hmm. and then depending on what residency I pick, so, like, I want to do orthopedics, those are usually 3 to 4 years, so I'll have about 8 years after college, so math, 12 years.
Yeah. Talk about, can you talk about a little bit about how your decision that, because you stated to me earlier that you definitely don't want to have kids, which is totally fine. Your life, I respect it. Mm-hmm. But just talk to me a little bit about the decision. Is that based on, I don't want to do this because I don't want to be, I want to be have as much time with, like, is it based on the statistic that it will set you back in your career, or is it a personal decision? Do you not like kids? Like, just talk to me a little bit about
the decision. It's a few different things. So both my parents worked full-time, and then when my mom had us, me and my brother, we always had nannies growing up just because my parents were working, and, like, nothing against them. They wanted to have it all. They wanted to have the family, the career, everything, which is totally fine. But if I was going to have kids, I wouldn't want to be that mom. I would want to spend time with them. You know, I would want to, like, set other things aside just so I could be with my kids. And I'm so career-driven that I know, like, I'm not going to be able to do that. I know I would be set back in my career. I know that I wouldn't get to spend time with them that I would want to spend with them. And my other, like, big factor on it is just I want to be so successful in my career that, like, there is no time to have kids. Like, there's no time to be pregnant. There's no time to, like, take off and just, you know, have kids. And I think the people who do it, I respect them a lot, because 9 months of growing a human being, shit, that's a long time. Plus, it's so much work afterwards. Like, I know how hard my parents worked for that, and I totally respect people who do that, because that's incredible. And I just think that's something that I don't see for myself.
Yeah. I have a question, actually. So let's say you establish a lot of money, you decide to retire young, not young, but, like, earlier than average, because surgeons make a decent amount of money. Mm-hmm. Would you ever think about adopting a child? That way you wouldn't have to go through that 9 months pregnancy and you'd be later in life.
Yeah, I've actually definitely thought about that. So this is random and off topic, but my boyfriend has always wanted to have kids. And we had this discussion a couple months ago just because that was something that came up when we were dating, and he's like, you know, I don't want to get involved with somebody who doesn't want to have kids. And, you know, I'm totally fine with adopting someone, I think, but then, you know, the guy would probably end up doing a lot more than what I would do. Mm-hmm. So they would have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Plus, I've always thought, if I become successful and, like, I have a lot of money and I can help people, I would love being a foster parent, just because I could help a lot of people that way. And I just think that way you could help more people rather than just struggling to raise one kid that you don't really get to spend a lot of time with, who has nannies and stuff like that, rather than, you know, helping a lot of different people that you can and then get on to better things in their life.
Yeah, that's super cool. I'm so proud of you that you're so just driven to be successful at whatever cost. And I love that about you. The second thing that basically is an excuse for the wage gap, or quote-unquote, is that women just need to ask for more money. This is a quote from NPR. They said, women worry that pushing for more money will damage their image. Research shows that their right to be concerned. Both male and female managers are less likely to want to work with women who negotiate during a job interview. So that paired along with a new study that was just released by the New York Times last week, that women are in fact asking for more raises, but they're just being shut down more often than men. So that kind of goes back to what your point, Amy, about how there really isn't, like, the wage gap thing. It's not really there, but, like, there's statistics in other places. You have to, like, compare the right stuff. So that sucks as women. Like, we, like, get encouraged, like, hey, like, just be more, like, out there, just be more confident and you'll get the raise. But
see, I have, like, so I understand where they're coming from, but I've always felt this way, where if a guy goes and asks for a raise, he's like, oh yeah, he's headstrong, he's a great guy. If a girl goes and does something like that, it's, oh, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? I'm doing the exact same thing that a male's doing, except for me, that's bitchy. For him, that's, oh, that's headstrong and career-driven.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. There's a girl on our volleyball team. Shout out to Hannah Smith. She's in a job right now. She's working, and she's making, what is it, $10 an hour?
$10 an hour.
$10 an hour. And there was a guy who was doing the same internship last year, and he made $12 an hour. I know, like, that's not a huge difference, but it makes a difference. And just the fact that he was a guy doing the same job and she's a girl doing same job, if not more work, for longer. So she went and she asked her boss for a raise, and he's like, let me think about it. Comes back a week later, he's like, no. He says no. And she said, I did all this research, and he said no. He just flat out said no. And I said, why don't you just say it. This guy was making more money than me. And she said, you can't discuss your salary like that. Like, you can't do that. And I was like, why not? Like, just do it. And I was, that got me so frustrated. And
because a lot of guys don't like headstrong girls.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to be perceived. There's like no right way to be perceived in the world. Like the world. No. World.
It's like women are meant to be more soft than men. And that's why. Like the
which
men
I protest every day.
Yeah. And it's just the, I don't know. It's starting, I feel like in the future, it's going to be a lot more different. But right now, it's still, women are supposed to be soft. They're supposed to stay at home, take care of the children. Men should go out and have the money-making jobs and be more powerful. And I think in the future, it'll be a lot more gender equal.
Yeah. I think that's because the generation before us was like that way, mm-hmm. and they're still all the people in power. Yeah. Because our life expectancy is so much longer that they're all still in power. They're still all like CEOs and in charge of things.
Yeah.
And I think once our generation comes up and we're just like, no, we're going to change all of this because this is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, we can do that.
Another random point that my mom always talked about is when she was younger, before she had me, because I was the firstborn, before she had me, she was working in the state's attorney's office and working under Janet Napolitano. And she was the kind of the PR person there. And and you're good. And so my mom was talking about how men go around and state their accomplishments and say, hey, I did this, or hey, this is what I've accomplished. And that women don't do that as much, or they're not as confident about their successes. And so my mom said, as soon as I like heard that study, I went around, as soon as I did something successful, I went around to everyone in the office and I said, hey, like, look what I did. I look like how awesome I am. I was like, go mom, like, that's awesome that you did that. And I was just, that's such a good way to like look about it. Like
when she had a kid, I made this.
Yeah, me, look how awesome she is. No, but that was just like such a, like a great thing. And then another just random point that I want to throw in there, it's kind of relevant that one of my best friends, her name's Crystal Alex Warner, and her first name is Alex. It's weird, like Alex Crystal Warner. It switches back and forth all the time. And her mom actually named her Alex because she wanted it to be a gender-neutral name, so when she was applying for job interviews and whatnot, that they wouldn't just assume she was a female. Isn't that so weird? I thought that was...
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's sad that she has to do that, but that's pretty smart.
It is, right? But that's the society we live in. Like, that's the measure she had to take, so...
See, both my parents have names where they can be either one. Mm-hmm. They're Renee and Tracy, and since my family's French, there's lots of male Renees. So they wanted to name us names that were impossible to be gender neutral.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay, any final thoughts from both of you guys on the whole wage gap gender issue? No, you're good? All right. Thank you so much for coming on, Amy Steinwan. Thank you, DJ Gaines. This is DJ Beefcake on Where's the Beef on radio.dominican.edu. Make sure you guys come to the Dominican Volleyball Games next Thursday. We've got one. If you can't come, tune in to radio.dominican.edu.
Is it this Thursday?
It's this Thursday. Thank
Not
you.
Next Thursday.
Not next Thursday. Sorry. This Thursday, and we also have a bunch of other events like Midnight Mayhem. We got a lacrosse scrimmage. We got some soccer games. So make sure you go to all of those. Have a great Tuesday late afternoon and tune in to DJ Duncan right after this. Have a great day. Bye, guys.